Welcome to today's edition of Storefront Backtalk's podcast series on security. I'm Evan Schumann. In our prior segment, we explored some of the more bizarre acts committed by retailers in the name of wireless security. That included a compensating control admiring gas station, whose security modus operandi consisted of having someone phone each station and asking if anything new was plugged in. We heard about a department store chain that had a team of 8 people walking through 500 stores in 8 states, and a grocery chain that thought that WEP and a 32-character hidden SSID was enough of a defense. But today, we're going to try and defend retailers by proving that wireless security insanity goes well beyond traditional product movers. With us today to try and defend the honor of retail is Anthony Palladino, Managing Director of Global Systems Engineering with Airtight Networks. Let's jump in. What are the, we gotta defend our honor here. What are the craziest wireless security efforts you've seen outside retail?
Well, one of the first ones that comes to mind is there's a pro sports team, and we were invited out there to kind of take an assessment of their security posture as it pertained to, you know, PCI and wireless. And as we're kind of walking through and taking a look at the airspace, we realized that all of their access points were actually set to default mode, meaning they were in the out-of-the-box configuration, they were advertising the default SSID, and they were wide open. In other words, no encryption on these devices at all. So we simply asked, is this the same network that you're actually running credit card data and transactions over? And the guy simply said, absolutely. He said, our data on our credit card transactions is all encrypted at layer 3. So we were kind of puzzled there, because when you actually go through, when you have an unencrypted traffic at layer 2, which is where your Wi-Fi signal is, your MAC layers, where everything's connecting, anyone can then capture that data stream, whether it's encrypted or not. It's free for anyone to capture, and then at that point can then be brought home and brought back into your dark secret lab somewhere, and then actually break that encryption that's in the upper layers, in that credit card data, could then come out. So it was very interesting that the fact that they thought that they didn't have to protect their network at all the layers was definitely an eye-opener.
That's one of the things we've seen from a lot of different players, the belief that if you encrypt, then the data can be available to anyone without any security problems.
Yeah, and unfortunately, people are a little bit misguided. There's kind of a old-school thought, most of your barriers on the outside, and then you don't then have to encrypt on the inside, and then that's gone away, where now people are saying you need to encrypt at all layers. This person was actually the reverse, where they were like, well, we're encrypting on the inside, so we could leave the outside wide open.
Given the technology deployed by the bad guys, the cyber thieves today, how much of a chance is there that they would be able to crack the encryption given enough time?
Well, unfortunately, the bad guys actually have help these days. So if you were a fairly low-end hacker, but were good enough to just capture that data stream, there's people out there on the internet, and I'm not going to name names, but they actually offer services to then crack these data streams. So in other words, you could go to someone who's actually built one of these monster type of labs where they string hundreds of virtual operating systems together in order to crack these encrypted files. So again, if you're just good enough to know where to then bring these data files, you could actually get them decrypted.
I mean, that even happened in the Gonzalez case with TGX and just about every other major chain that his crew attacked. He outsourced the encryption cracking efforts to another team. So it was kind of an interesting little structural empire there, but they were able to crack it. Taking a cruise, always a place where I would expect top-notch security, you would run into an interesting cruise line. What went down with them?
The thing with the cruise lines is, as you know, a lot of them share the same docks, or where they actually do embarkation, I believe they call it, is the cruise line buzzword. So you'll have multiple cruise lines all sharing almost the same space. So we were out there doing an assessment for one of our customers, who is very secure, by the way. And as we were there doing an assessment, we noticed that every other cruise line there was running wide open access points. So again, the access points were in default mode, and at that point they were taking, which is a very important part of the cruise line experience, is that's where they actually take your credit card and then marry that credit card number to your name as an individual, because all the upsell then happens on the ship. So once you get on the ship, you just, you know, give them your name and it automatically gets tagged to your card. So that information is probably even more valuable than just plain credit card data, because you're getting, you know, the person's name, the person's address along with that credit card data. So we actually saw them, you know, checking their future passengers onto the ship, and at that point they were taking all of this very, very, very secret information, and they were doing it over open Wi-Fi. They were just plugging access points in, doing it all over a handheld, like a handheld laptop or a tablet PC, and they were just entering the data right in.
Did you have a chance to talk to their people?
It was actually a competitive cruise line to my customer, so we did actually end up speaking with them, and I think that we probably scared them a little bit, and I think that they were eventually going to lock it down. But we have yet to actually go back in there and actually provide them with our product, where our product actually would then have the ability to protect the access point as well as the client devices that they would be using.
What I was most curious about was when you talked to them, I'm trying to understand the rationale, their thinking. Did they have a plan why this was secure, or was it simply a matter of we didn't even give that any thought?
The best I could tell after speaking with them was because they had all intentions of using an encrypted access point, except that it was too difficult for them to set it up. I kind of got an answer like, well, we used to have them encrypted, but then because I guess there's a lot of turnover and they're not sure who shows up with what laptop, and then they had an issue of getting that person the right security keys to then access the network. So therefore, if they just left it wide open, no matter what employee showed up, then they'd be able to connect to the access point much easier.
How incredibly courteous of them.
Yes, exactly. Well, they didn't want to hold the line up, is what it sounded like.
No, they'd rather have their customers held up afterwards. You mentioned an interesting hotel chain that had the rogue hotspot. What was behind that one?
This one's probably, I would definitely put in the category of one of the more interesting, or probably that I've seen in all our travels. This one was a hotel chain. A guest, business traveler, was checking out of the hotel chain. And as he was checking out, he mentioned to the desk clerk, he said, "Hey, I stay here all the time, and I'm glad to see you guys have finally put in wireless hotspot." So the hotel clerk just kind of said, "Okay," and didn't say anything, and you know, the guest went on his merry way. And she told the manager that this person's, you know, using our hotspot, which we know we don't have. So they called in one of our partners, and our partner actually scanned the airspace, and sure enough, they saw a hotspot advertising itself right in the hotel lobby. They connected to it, turned out to be a captive portal, which a captive portal a lot of times is something you would see in a hotel. It prompts you and says, enter credit card information, and for $15 or $10, you'll have access for the next 24 hours. So everyone on this podcast, I'm sure, has kind of had that experience. So they then said, well, we know it's not in our hotel, so they decided to actually kind of walk around, figure out where their signal was coming from. Well, there was an apartment building directly across the street from the hotel. It was in an urban area. And they actually traced it to a specific room, knocked on the door, and the good gentleman answered the door and said, "Oh yeah, I'm providing a hotspot." Well, this person happened to be, I guess you would say, he was an entrepreneur, but I would say he was on the more honest side. He wasn't stealing their credit cards, although he certainly could have. And they basically informed him that they would actually get the police involved if he did not take the hotspot down and, you know, not allude to the fact that it was part of the hotel property. So this person had been operating for probably, they think, close to a month without the hotel, you know, not even realizing it. And he was taking credit card information and providing a service.
Two easy questions on that. The first one is, did he label it with that hotel's name?
Did not use the hotel's name, but he did insinuate in the captive portal in the splash page that it was located into the hotel and approved by the hotel. He was definitely targeting the hotel guests.
How did he insinuate this?
Things like enter room number, and he mentioned the name of the hotel, but his SSID did not have the hotel's name in it.
What was the legitimate purpose of asking the room number if not to trick someone into thinking it's a hotel hotspot?
When I say he was honest, I think he was honest in the fact that he wasn't out to steal credit card data as far as we know. Who knows? You know, it's possible that had he not been caught so early in the process that he may have, you know, done something illegal with the credit card data he'd collected. Because again, he wasn't a valid business, so he was breaking business code. And I think he was trying to fool the guests into thinking that he was part of the hotel. So you know, not completely honest, but I, from what I understand, is when the police did get involved, they did, you know, an investigation, and he pled his case, which was he was just trying to, you know, help pay the rent, I think was his quote, and he was never charged as long as he was to take the hotspot down.
So he was business person honest, not cyber thief honest.
Yes.
The hotel didn't even look for that. In other words, it was a hotel guest who happened to notice the hotspot on his PDA, presumably. That's how they found out about it. They weren't even scanning to see if this was going on.
That's absolutely correct. So the hotel was doing nothing to protect him, to protect the hotel's network, and the hotel was not even scanning the airspace. And I had the guests not have complimented them on them finally putting in Wi-Fi. They never would have known it.
Thank you so very much. We hope to continue this conversation shortly. But for today, for the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on security, this is Evan Schumann.